Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning. And today my guest is Cecile Rayner, who is an Alexander Technique teacher in Brookline, Massachusetts. She's been teaching for over 20 years. She works with a wide variety of students. And she is also a mother. And we're going to talk today a little bit about how the Alexander Technique can be useful for parents. Cecile, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Robert.
Good to talk to you again. Could you begin by giving our listeners a short description of the Alexander Technique?
Yeah, the Alexander Technique is an efficient way to reclaim postural balance by freeing ourselves from harmful habitual patterns, and it helps us prevent body misuse and overuse. And it is done by teachers who use a gentle hands-on process of kinesthetic re-education that engages both the mind and the body.
Well, you know, you mentioned body misuse often, I guess, due to stress or strain. Mm-hmm. And when I put that in my mind next to parenting from my own experience of that, which it's pretty easy to see a connection there. Mm-hmm. Certainly, I don't have any experience of parenting very small children, but I do have experience of teaching slightly older children. Mm-hmm. And there are certainly times when your own physical, let's say your own physical mechanism is challenged mm-hmm. by the stresses involved in parenting. So do you want to say a little bit about that, maybe based in part on your own experience as well?
Yes. So there's several things I'd like to say about parenting. Some have to do with when the children are very little mm-hmm. and they can't walk yet and they're in a stroller and at some point they're trying to walk. So there's a few things I'd like to say about that. And then there's other things I can say in terms of children in general and older children and how, I mean, I believe that parenting is really one of the hardest tasks anyone can do, and it's something that no one can be prepared for, no matter how many books you read, no matter how your parents were with you, no matter, mm-hmm. It's really one of the hardest things. So, of course, it's going to trigger all our habitual pattern and our reactive patterns, and so it is definitely the one activity that, if there's one activity you want to use your Alexander, it's parenting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned very young children. Obviously, one of the things that you have to do with very young children is lift them and put them places and put them into car seats and so on.
Yeah.
And that can be quite a challenge physically.
Yeah, it can be very demanding on the body, but using the Alexander Technique makes a big difference. And first of all, most mothers who haven't done the Alexander Technique, they will tend to carry children. They're going to have a favorite side because of the way they used themselves before, mm-hmm. and they're going to tend to use that side over and over, and they're going to develop what I call mother's hip, and which will end up coming with the foot turning out on that side. And so sometimes I have a student who come for the first time, and I don't know them from anywhere, but I can get a sense if they've been a mother, because there's certain things that you can notice. Mm-hmm. It kind of deforms the body in a very specific way. So learning the technique would prevent that. And it shows also how people push the stroller, for example. If somebody who hasn't had Alexander, you see them really efforting with their arms and shoulder to push the stroller. Mm-hmm. And so the whole body is very disconnected because it's too much tension in the neck, shoulder, and arms. But what I tell my students, and I use that also for people who don't have children, I say when you're in the grocery store, just relax your hand on the cart bar and handle and start walking. Don't use your arms, use your whole body. Just by walking, the cart or the stroller becomes an extension of your body, and it's because you're walking that it's moving. Mm-hmm. And it's a total different way of using yourself, and it's way less stressful on the body. So all those things, when parents are not aware of that, they create stress, unnecessary stress. It's stressful enough even when you don't do that, but that's added stress, you know?
Right. So, and another way maybe of saying what you just did is that your arms, if you're pushing a shopping cart or a stroller, or for that matter, a lawnmower, for example,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
your arms are really just conduits. They're
exactly.
They're the connection between you and what you're pushing,
mm-hmm.
but they themselves don't really have to do a lot of work.
No.
You're doing the work in your torso and your legs by mainly your legs by walking. And I think that habit, as you describe it, people in supermarkets, you'll see them clenching the shopping cart,
mm-hmm.
Might not be such an awful thing if they're just in the store once or twice a week.
Yeah.
But if they've got a small child, mm-hmm. or two, or and they're using a stroller, then it can really start to catch up with them, and you get, as you would imagine, stiff shoulders, stiff necks, a lot of tightness in their upper mm-hmm. body. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing I would like to mention in regard to young children is that sometimes, you know, parents and grandparents try, you know, they're so excited. They want the child to walk soon. And they're holding them by the hand, and mm-hmm. they're much taller. And they think that that's going to help them to walk. And
right.
this is really not a good idea to do that. First of all, there is a natural rhythm for each child to start walking when they're ready. And some children need more time than others. I, for one, and my sons were the same. We started walking at age 10. We were running all around. I mean, 10 months.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And other kids at 10 months, they're still sitting there or, you know, rolling over, whatever. So you cannot force a child. But on top of that, by holding their hands up like this, they're actually really creating a disconnect in the child that's trying to learn how to walk.
Mm-hmm.
And that anybody who will hear this, I hope they stop doing it if they're doing it. And it's also the same when they're crawling and they're trying to force them to go into walking before they're done with their crawling stage. And I know studies have been done and they connect the crawling stage to later on when kids will be reading and writing. And so if you don't let kids have the time they need to go through all the developmental stages, you can actually affect their schooling, their skills when they're going to be in school. So yeah. People don't know that, but I just felt like I needed to mention
yeah,
that.
Yeah, absolutely. Crawling and creeping, those are mm-hmm. pretty important developmental stages. And I'll tell you what I see a lot, and I imagine you do as well, children who a child who is walking, but maybe quite young, mm-hmm. a few years old, walking hand in hand with a parent who is a bit oblivious of how fast they're walking
yes.
for the short legs of the child. And I've seen
mm-hmm.
this a lot
yes.
where the child is really struggling to keep up. And I mm-hmm. think, again, a parent who's had some Alexander training would immediately be mm-hmm. sensitive to that.
Yes,
it
exactly.
sort of jumps out at you when you see it as an Alexander teacher. And I think a parent who had that kind of orientation would even sense it directly through their hands that this mm-hmm. kid is really struggling. and of course creating all kinds of extra tension, which is going to be associated with walking down the line. So there, I guess there's an example where it really, really directly affects your children. Now,
I want to mention another thing, which is I know that with my first child, even though at the time I was already starting to meditate and trying to learn what it means to be mindful in every possible way, it was the very beginning, but I hadn't yet integrated it enough that I was able to use it when he was very little. And I remember walking him to his daycare, and of course he wanted to stop in front of every flower, every worm, every and I remember being impatient because I had things to do. The Alexander technique also develops a certain level of mindfulness and awareness and ability to be in the present moment. And I'm so grateful that I studied this between my two kids, because I think I was way more like that for my second one. I wanted to mention that too.
Right. Now, if we move on to somewhat older children, children who are perhaps in school, the one thing that I noticed right away was the really harmful effects of super heavy backpacks that kids were wearing. It just amazed me. I would see kids, because a lot of kids would walk by our house on the way to school, and they look like little tiny Sherpas, about to climb Mount Everest, gigantic packs on their back. And the other thing that I can remember just jumping out at me right away was the miserable furniture seating arrangements in school and in the cafeteria. So I think as a parent who had some Alexander training, you probably it would be a struggle to change those external things, but you could certainly be aware of them and help your children when they're at home, at least to come out of whatever patterns they've acquired at school. That would be one thing you could do, or you might even be a voice for change in that.
Yeah, because it's also a symbol of how this culture puts all their eggs in the same basket, which is the basket of the intellect, they don't give enough awareness to the balance between body and mind, and yet they think they are because they're doing all the sports, but then they do all the sports and it's competitive, it's very muscular, and they're still not really letting kids be in tune with themselves, So this is something that I had trouble with, but the thing is, you can't, by yourself, you can't change certain things, but, like I tell people, you can't prevent the stress of life, but you can choose how you handle it. That makes the whole difference. So if you teach your kids that, then you're going to have kids that, have a certain understanding of things, that sometimes they have to do things that are not comfortable or whatever, but in general, my younger one, the second one, I remember somehow between my meditation and my Alexander, little things happened that were quite interesting to show that they understand at a young age what I was doing. One time, for example, my son had a teddy bear that got ripped at the neck, and he came to me and he says, "Mom, I think he needs Alexander."
right.
So he knew it had to do something with the neck, and one time we went to a Chinese restaurant, and there were those dragon or lion, or I can't remember, and their head was in their body. There was no neck, and same thing. My son went, and he went with his two little hands. He says, "Mom, don't you think they need Alexander?" And so kids, they pick it up, but they don't. it takes a while, especially between parent and children. It's like you can't teach your spouse very well, you know, in general. And so with children, they're aware, and I've had lots of Alexander moments with them, and it's only later that they ask for lessons and all that. I basically, when they grew up, it was more by hearing me talk to students or friends, or you know, I didn't explain things to them when they were little, but somehow they picked it up.
What I have found from some of my adult students, like most Alexander teachers, I show them the Alexander lying down position, which is basically lying on a firm surface with some support under your head and your knees elevated, has all kinds of very, very useful effects, and pretty anyone can do it. And some of them would come home after work, for example, and lie down in the living room, and their kids would just lie down next to them. So there, you know, there could be that kind of an Alexander transfer to children.
Yeah.
I wonder if maybe in the few minutes we have left, might be worth saying a word or two about the stress of teenage kids, because they do test you in all kinds of ways. And do you want to say a word or two about how the technique can be helpful to a parent who's dealing with that kind of thing?
Yeah. I mean, I think that when children become teenagers, I had heard a meditation teacher mention that if your teenager tells you they hate you and they yell at you and they, you know, you're doing the right thing because it's the time that they need to become separate from you. It's the time that they need to find their own identity. So understanding that is already a big thing. But then using the technique, for me, it was just trying not to be reactive, you know, it's like, and which allowed me to be more understanding, because when you react with all your subconscious and unconscious fears and past history, and it's not necessarily you the way you would like to respond. It just comes out of the closet.
Boom. Right.
So when you use the technique and you choose not to react, so you have that little space of time to give you a chance to respond the way you want to respond, that makes a big difference. And you can only teach them by example. It's not something you know, you can mention it here and there, you know, but basically it's by doing it yourself that they pick up on it. And kids in the same family can be very different, and take to it sooner or later. You know, there's no guarantee, but the guarantee is that it's going to make your life as a parent much better, much easier, and you, as a parent, you can go through really stressful time with a sense of non-attachment, you know, like you don't take it personally.
I agree with you that it's going to be mainly through example. They're going to see and sense. I mean, kids see and sense everything, really.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're gonna, at some level, notice that you're remaining fairly calm during this stressful encounter. And at some level, they're going to pick up on that and perhaps model it down the road themselves.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to say about parenting and the Alexander technique before we come to a close?
No, except that I would encourage any parent or anyone who wants to become a parent to study the technique, because it will change the directions of their lives. This is a work that even in other situations, it can change people's life, but certainly as a parent, it can really make a really huge difference.
I would totally agree with that. So my guest today has been Cecile Rayner, whose an Alexander Technique teacher and parent who lives in Brookline, Massachusetts. If what we've been talking about intrigues you and you live in the Boston area, we'll put a link to her website. If you live anywhere else in the world, we'll put a link to a website where you can find a teacher in your area and learn more about the Alexander Technique. Cecile, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Robert. It was a pleasure.